All right. Matthew 18, binding and loosing. We're going to start from verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear you, hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Verse 16, but if he will not hear you or hear thee, then take with you or thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen and a publican. I want us to take verse 18 together. Verily I say, about here, the last two sessions of this teaching. And we said Jesus was teaching what? Forgiveness and reconciliation. Right? There was no demon in mind when he was saying this. Praise God. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, notice how we're supposed to handle this. He said, if someone offends you, tell it, pray about it. No. If someone offends you, tell someone on Facebook. No. If someone offends you, what do? Look at it, come on. No. Don't tell him. Go to him. Praise God. You miss that part. You go and meet him. You tell him, you go to the person. So you have a duty, responsibility to go. You have to go. It's not sufficient to say, well, in my heart, I've let it go. Like some people try to say psychologically. He says, you go. So we said last week that he's dealing with reconciliation. Not just forgiveness. We said Christian forgiveness without, sorry, that's not about. Forgiveness without reconciliation is not biblical forgiveness. Now you remember that. Forgiveness without reconciliation is not biblical forgiveness. The essence of forgiveness in scripture is to restore relationships. I'll take that one more time. Forgiveness without reconciliation is not Christian. There has to be reconciliation. That's what it is. You don't forgive, then stop relating. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness for the believer must include reconciliation. And don't forget, you don't wait for the brother to come to you. You go to him. Listen carefully. In Christian forgiveness, we don't try to prove a point, all right, of who is right or who is wrong. You don't prove a point. So, you go to him. That's the first thing he says. You go to him, all right. Then he says, we'll come to that later. If he doesn't hear you, you go with two or three. Then if he doesn't, tell it to the church. We'll come back to that one. Now, look at Luke 17. Remember that? Luke 17. Verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It's impossible, offenses must come. Offenses must come. Say, offenses must come. Then he says, it's better for him that his milestone were hanged about his neck, and he cast his sheep, that he should offend one of his little ones. Take it to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Let's take verse 4 together. And if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. In Matthew 18, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, let's look at it. Jesus said unto him, I say unto you, but let's start 21. 21 is best. Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often or how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You know, he's like, give me a time limit. Give me, what's the limit of it? My dad used to say, there's a limit to human endurance. He said it so often, he was not born again when he used to say that. He said it so often that unconsciously I picked that phrase up and I started to believe it. There's a limit to human endurance. There's a limit to human endurance. There's a limit till there was actually a limit to my endurance. And so I found excuses to hold things against me. Psychologically, it makes sense, you know, because philosophically, human wisdom will tell you, don't get hurt the second time. Right? Human psychology. Looking good. That's not the Bible. He said, it will always come. You cannot avoid hurts. It will always come. Jesus promised you by the Spirit. How about that? You know, you have the promise of God called offenses. You got to be ready. You know, there are some verses, you skip them quickly. You don't meditate on them. You can quote them, but you don't meditate. Just leave it alone. But it says offenses will come. And I told you that you must be ready to forgive, because all human interactions can never be perfect. There will be things said either deliberately or not, and you must be ready. All right? In fact, let me say this quickly, and you need to add this. One of the ways you know whether you are growing up spiritually is how long it takes you to forgive. How long does it take you to forgive someone who offends you? You need to check that, because that's better. But better. Anyway, now so he says it will always come. So he mentions to bind and loose, which simply means, we looked at it last week, it means you will bind what? You will bind unforgiveness. You compel yourself to forgive. You will bind unforgiveness and you will lose reconciliation. He's talking about reconciliation. You will bind and lose whatever you bind up. You must bind unforgiveness and lose forgiveness. You will bind yourself so that you will not act in the flesh. Because binding and losing, we found out, are human decisions. In other words, you will take a decision. So say binding and losing means the decision is yours. Are you still there? Are you following me? The decision is yours. So he gives a parable, and we're going to look at that parable shortly. So don't forget, the core of that parable, or the example he gave, is not just forgiving from your heart, it's reconciliation. Reconciliation. Forgiveness restores relationship. Never forget that. That's what it does. Stabilizes relationships and restores them. E.W. Kenyon once said, the love of God does not go to divorce courts. I agree with him. The love of God does not go to divorce courts. Two people who are in a marriage and are both walking in love cannot divorce. Two people in a marriage who are walking in the love of God cannot experience divorce. It will take one party or both parties to have a divorce. Two believers walking in love cannot separate. It will take one party or both parties to separate. Two believers walking in love, are you still out there? Can never have a breakup. It will take one party not to walk in love. And most of the time, I must say this, if just one party chooses to walk in love, many times there will not be a fallout. If one party chooses to walk in love, a lot of times there will be a fallout. So a couple of times it's ego. I remember today we're having a discussion. The pastor talks, we had just catching up on things, and he said something that caught my attention. He said there's something everyone, including ministers, must be careful of. He said it's called ego. Where your ego is bruised, some small things, subtle things, the way they talk to you, the way they address you, the way they serve you food without plates. Sorry. What did I say? Going crazy. Okay, maybe in your hands. You know, the way they treat someone treated you differently. Your ego. Sometimes it's a word someone said to you. Sometimes it's what was written. So, the most bad thing is that you just felt it was a self thing. You felt your image was battered or something affected the way they saw you. Particularly if you are in a place where they respect you, go to somewhere they don't respect you, your ego is bruised. And sometimes egos can lead you to go very far. I mean very, very far. Then you oftentimes you get judgmental. That's why Matthew 7, Jesus said that, judge so that you not be judged. He said, before you remove the log of wood, or I like to, my own translation is, before you remove the skyscraper, I think log of wood is small, skyscraper in your brother's eye. Do you know there's some folks who go on social media and criticize those who criticize? Isn't that interesting? You criticize those who criticize. So what are you doing? You are critically criticizing. You have a whole nation in your eye. Yeah, is that my point? Many times when we judge, oftentimes, I wrote a material years back and I said, there is righteous judgment and there is hypocritical judgment. Many times, those who judge wrongly have worse things in their lives. Many times. They have worse things in their lives. So before you judge another, judge yourself. Are you in church? Alright, good. Okay, so your ego, check your ego, the way you look at it. I mean, someone told me, I won't accept it till it comes publicly and write it publicly. And I said, why? No, he has to. Did God ask you to confess your sins publicly? He has to say publicly. He has to say before. I said, no. That means this is not about what he did. It's about people. You don't look at it. Sometimes it's an ego thing. You just want your ego to be restored to its eternal status. Are you there? Okay. You know, sometimes hurts can be so funny that a friend of yours that you usually joke and he says, monkey. And he says, goat. And you guys, you know, I have a cousin like that. Till date for many years. Many years. Well, we see ourselves like this. Till date. Say, idiot. Say, fool. Anywhere. Those today, I said, today. Your children are here. Are you okay? He said, you know you're an idiot. That's how he responded. I said, and you're a big fool. Do you know the point was, that's how our parents used to talk to themselves. My dad and his dad were best of friends. So we heard them say that this is an idiot, fool. I would just joke about it and talk. Say, you know, just for us, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. Some of you, I call you monkey. And you don't feel, you laugh at it. But you know, there can come a time, you know, say, monkey, sir, something's wrong. Someone said something to you, or something came into your mind. But a couple, all of a sudden, the wife reacts differently. So what happened? I've been taking it for you for 15 years. Ah, 15 years? No more. Something's wrong somewhere. All right, now come on. So you need to look at it and ask yourself, is there an ego problem? Am I trying to protect an image somewhere? Sometimes that's what makes it impossible to reconcile. Sometimes in the harshest of moments, we say things, you know, some of you say some funny things like, I would never talk to him again. Like you're a God. You know. And we say those things. And sometimes we say it before others So the reason why we don't reconcile is because we have spoken a word and it must come to pass. So watch what you say in anger. Because anger on itself is a sin. So it will always breed sin. Do you know that one of the greatest assets of a believer is to keep quiet? Just keep quiet. Just shut up. Shh. 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 God said, no. Let it out. Scripture and verse. Pour it out. Say everything in your mind. How many of you know, really? That's not healthy. Be sincere. Sincere. No. Be sincere. It's not healthy to say everything. It's good to say things in your mind, but everything? Like I said the other time, imagine if that Facebook status, what's on your mind, God should be the one to write it. Facebook will blow up. God writes for all of us what's on our mind. That will say, ah! And you say, ah! You read your own. How about that? So, you know, you realize that you need to understand reconciliation must not be based on your selfishness. It must be based on selflessness. Okay, let's look at this. So look at the story that Jesus gave in Matthew 18. We read that story before now. A servant was owing the king. Okay? Was owing a certain king. Was owing him 10,000 talents. Let's call it $10,000. Because if you mention naira, it doesn't make so much sense. It's not enough to owe. $10,000. Then he couldn't pay. The Lord commanded that him to sold and his wife and children and all that he had. That's quite something. That means he had his wife, his children, and all he has. That's about $10,000. Then the man worshiped and said, have patience with me. That means even I don't think he could have paid it with those his children. I think they were not up to that $10,000 for him to beg again. I think they're probably about $8,000. Oh my God. Then the Lord said of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debts. You understand what loose is now? Huh? You know what loose is now? I forgave him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellows who owed him 100 pence, $100. Not even $100, sorry. 100 pence is like saying 100 pence, actually. 100 pence. Look, I think we can use this one for naira. 100 naira. Laid hands on him to minister the baptism on his troth. Baptism of ritual killing. Pay me what you owe. You know, have you seen Christians lock themselves before? I mean, come on, show you what I mean. Come. Come, brother. Christians, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. They will do it in tongues. Come, let's. They will do it in tongues. Christians do. That's what Jesus is saying here. You lock the person up. They go like this. You guys say, please, boss! In the name of Jesus. God just say, thank you. You know. So he goes, and then he said, pay me what you owe. The fellow servant fell down and said, oh my God. Don't forget, both of them are servants. The other one was a king. So there are two servants. Have patience with me, I'll pay you all. Remember, they said the same thing. He said, will not, and when they cast him into the prison, till he should pay the debt. Did you notice the difference? What God did to us far outweighs what anyone does to you. Come on now. Sorry, what we did to God far outweighs what anyone will do to you. No matter what anyone does for you, is 100 naira. 100 naira cannot win a girl over. Well, depending on the girl. I mean, you don't take 100 naira and take a girl out. I don't think you can even make it at Yabatec, that side, when you enter Yabatec to the left. I don't think it's sufficient to get rice. Right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's the point. 100 naira to do what? And that's all the guy did to you and you held his neck. 100 naira holding. You have $10,000 and you will forgive him. You find hypocrites cry, but for your grace, I will not be saved. But for your grace, he's crying, right? Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given. Oh, Baba, oh, we could never repay you, but from my heart, I like to say, then someone says something against you. You are a hypocrite. 100 naira to $10,000 can't even compare what we're saying. You discover that those who have forgiven much because of their selfishness forgive less. I say it often, God is not as principled as some of us are. That's all. Please now, I said that's all. There's nothing I can do about it. Some people will say no, and they'll be smiling. No. Young man, no. Please. My children, even God is a God of justice. Wicked soul. You are not born again. You have been forgiven. You ought to forgive. You ought to lose forgiveness by letting the sinner go. So who do you bind? You bind yourself and you lose the person. Amen. So when you are forgiving someone, who is bound? You are bound. Ah. Say, I'm bound by love and I lose forgiveness on others. You bind yourself. What you do. So don't bind demons. You are the demon. Bind yourself. You bind yourself and lose others. The king bound himself from taking the money. And he loosed the person who was owing. So Jesus is teaching forgiveness of sins. And not just that, like we said earlier, reconciliation. He says, whatever you bind, earlier chapter 16 and 18. I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 20. Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give to you, unto you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Watch that again. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth as well shall be loosed in heaven. So, binding and losing are my authority. Say, my authority. So bind and lose. I bind and lose with my authority. The word authority or kingdom there is the word basileia. It simply means authority. I give it to you the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Notice the difference. So same thing. In Matthew 18, he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. So the two things refer to heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth as well shall be loosed in heaven. So in Matthew 18, he's talking about the resources of the kingdom of God, referring to forgiveness of sins. Say forgiveness is my nature. I've not just been forgiven, I also have the nature of forgiveness. I've not just been forgiven, I also have the nature of forgiveness. And I told you the other time, you know, the people we ought to realize we should walk in love towards are those who are closest to us. Family, friends, co-workers, co-students. Sometimes we think forgiveness for every other person but those who are close by. You know, certainly you have couples walking on forgiveness. They think they are just being principled. the wife has things against the husband, she can keep until they have grandchildren. The husband also, until they have great grandchildren. So I just was watching over the years. I told myself, never again. 30 years. And sometimes they will forgive other people, but not those close to them. No. You need to forgive everybody. Amen. Are you listening? Are you listening? I often say, adultery doesn't break homes. And I'm saying it. Adultery is wrong, it's a sin. Alright? And no doubt it's a sin. Alright? But it doesn't break homes. What breaks homes is unforgiveness. If many people who walk out of their marriages because of adultery will see other marriages working, if they know what had happened to make it strong, they won't break their own homes. Truth is, how come I didn't know? That's the point. They didn't tell you. That's the point. How come so-and-so didn't tell me that the husband or the wife did the same thing and yet the marriage is strong? That's the point. They didn't tell you. You told the world. Forgive. Forgiving doesn't mean you won't help the person to walk in the spirit. I told a couple one time, I said, you probably just need to assist your husband or your wife, right, to walk in the spirit. To feed on the word. Amen. Don't look at me some funny. I'm talking the word. Praise God. Some guys say, well, it's an area we should not talk about. Why? We should. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. And then if the fellow has that infirmity, which is walking in the flesh, you bear it and help. You don't judge and condemn. You bear it and help. What about getting your husband or your wife materials to study? Or focusing on, maybe you've not been spending some more time in the Word. Spend some more time in the Word. Maybe there's some relationship you have to walk away from. You know, you are now trying to help. You are not trying to judge. Maybe there's you got to be more careful. You got, you know, things like that. But Bible says flee. The word flee is a compound word. It includes change the kind of phone you use. You know, things like that. Watch what you use. Social media. That's the word flee. Flee doesn't mean to keep running till you get to the expressway. Simply means do everything to avoid what will make you sin. So you assist the other person. Not go judgmental. Am I making any sense here? You forgive. That's basic. You forgive and walk in the Spirit. Matthew 18, verse 35. See Jesus. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother and their trespasses. We're going to look at what does this mean. He said, likewise would your heavenly Father do. I checked up the word do. It's a word that means to cause, to act, or to prompt. Likewise shall your heavenly Father do unto you if you do not forgive. Now, if the heavenly Father does not forgive because you don't forgive, then the heavenly Father too has sinned. So we need to get closer to say, what is Jesus talking about? Amen. If unforgiveness is wrong and the Heavenly Father chooses not to forgive, do not forget, it is the other party that sinned against you. So the moment you don't forgive, it now becomes a sin. So we're going to look at what that means. The moment you don't forgive, it now becomes a sin. Now, when you don't forgive, you know, initially, the brother sinned against you, but when you don't forgive, you now sinned against God. I'll take it one more time. The brother sinned against you, but when you don't forgive, now you sin against God. Do you know the other one is more weighty? Unforgiveness is weightier than whatever anyone does to you. So I say, forgive. Now notice in the parable, what the king did to the servant was to bind him up in prison till he pays everything. That's what he did. So, does the Heavenly Father use prisons for us? No. We'll see that later. So, we'll look at the critical details of what happened. We'll have to interpret what he was saying. Anyway, so, again, he mentions the Heavenly Father, because he had told you earlier on that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, in verse 18, same thing in Matthew 16. So let's look at a couple of things quickly. Matthew 18 again, he says, if your brother offends you, you go to him, right? Come on, you go to him. If he doesn't hear you, you call two or three. If he doesn't hear you, you tell it to the ecclesia. Explain to you, ecclesia there means those who are called out in the assembly who have authority to take decisions. You tell it to the authority in the local church, the pastors, or leadership. But before that happens, you mustn't go straight to the pastor before you have gone to the brother. And after going to the brother, you take two or three. Before you go to the leadership. Now pay attention to this. So he mentions two or three. Okay, two or three. Alright, come on. Verse 20. In fact, let's start from 19. Matthew 18. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two of you, is he talking about binding and loosing forgiveness? If two of you, 19, shall agree. I checked the word agree. Shall agree what? The word agree there is the word symphoneo in the Greek. S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E-O. S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E-O. I'll give you where you'll find this word used. Matthew 20 verse 2. Matthew 20 verse 2. And Matthew 20, 13. Matthew 20 verse 2. They agreed with the laborers for a penny. A day. Matthew 20 verse 13. I do no wrong. Is not thou agrees with me for a penny. Matthew 20 13. Then you look at Acts 5 9. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 15 15. The apostles. Acts 5 9. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 15 15. The apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. Luke 5 36. So it's always used for ammoning. Now, who are you in harmony with? Come on now. Who are you in harmony with? Look at it again. If two of you shall agree, be in harmony on earth, as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Are we talking about prayer here? Or are we talking about reconciliation? Come on, talk to me. So, what is the agreement about? Huh? The minute you lift 18 to 20 and you start talking about prayer, you totally got it wrong. Because he's not talking about prayer at all. The word ask there is desire or want, not prayer. Come on. Not prayer. Because it's not talking about prayer. It's dealing with reconciliation and forgiveness. The examples he gave earlier, between 15 and 16, 17 to 18, and then the parable he gave afterwards wasn't talking about prayer. Are we making any sense here? Huh? The question the disciples asked him let you know he wasn't talking about prayer. He said, Master, hey, how often do we do this? He said, 70 times 70. Oh, Jesus Christ. You mean we have to? Yes, you have to. So harmony is the issue. Look at 20. 20 now says, where will I be? I am. Okay. 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Gather together, use another word here. The word to gather together is the word sunago. S-U-N-A-G-O. Write this down vitally. It is used to receive someone. Sunago. Used for hospitality. To receive. If two of you shall receive, okay, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Alright? Pay attention now. Who are we receiving? Who are we receiving? Who are we receiving? Who are we in harmony with? Okay, wait. What is he talking about? Calm down. Don't let your mind race fast. What is he talking about? Okay? Forgiveness and reconciliation. So who are we receiving? Huh? Who are we in harmony with? Huh? The person who offended. He's not talking about coming together in church. No, 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 no. He's dealing with forgiveness. Watch this. Because he told you to treat the person as what? An even man and a publican. An even man and a publican. How do you treat an even man and a publican? You kill him? You judge him? You what? What coming? What did Jesus do to publicans and sinners? He welcomed them. In spite of who they were. It means, whether the brother accepts his fault or not, what do? You receive it. What do you do? Isn't that tough? Is it tough? It'd be tough, right? Is it tough? Why is it tough? That's why disciple says, sir, you mean we have to do this how many times? Can we do once a year? No, I want, okay, once a month, you know. Once a month. He said, no, 70 times. 70 times. Praise God. Pay attention now. So, there I am. In other words, Jesus is in the midst of forgiveness. He's in the midst of reconciliation. Luke 7, 1 and 2. Jesus receives sinners. That's what he does. He receives sinners. You know, he eats with sinners. He ate with them. He had lunch with them. He had dinner with them. Folks get going crazy. So what? So treat the person that way. So you bind yourself. In other words, you let go. You wave your rights. Right? And then you lose the person of what he's done. The minute you lose someone of what he has done to you, you relate as though it never happened, right? Come on. Come on. As though it never happened. Amen. Say, I have the nature of God. Say loud, come on, I have the nature of God. I can do what God does. I can forgive. I can reconcile. Amen. Amen. I can be in harmony with someone who offended me and refuses to acknowledge that he has offended me. He refused to acknowledge that he has offended me, and I am in harmony with him. And I won't tell him, you know, it's because of the scriptures. I don't want to act like I'm not the son of God. I want to tell you, you have offended me, but I won't act like that. I won't act like that, but I won't act like that. I won't act, but I'm acting it. Look at me very well. No, he says, you will. You will be in harmony. How many times? 70 times. Son died. Serious matter. You know, in Luke 17, the disciples says, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. It's a faith thing, Lord. Increase our faith. And Peter needs to ask that kind of question. You know, he draws the sword at the sliding opportunity. Marcus is here dancing around. Say, Master, I'm sorry, I didn't know when I did it. We forgive. Amen. So let's examine one aspect. Now, remember, he said, well, two or three. And the two or three he first mentioned are the two or three that get to know. Do you know that when someone tells you of what another has done to him, and he says, I even told him and he told me off. Do you know your responsibility remains reconciliation? You must never take sides. You must seek for reconciliation. So imagine, he says you take two or three. That means, look up guys, that means offenses between believers is not a personal thing. It's a family issue. Two or three brethren. You know, you have believers who have two friends who don't relate. How do you used to do it? That's what people say. How do you used to do it? You have two friends or two brethren you talk with but don't talk with each other. That's not Christian. That's not Christian. No, it's not Christian. There must be peace among the brethren. You can't do that. So I'm just managing the whole thing. No, you are walking in the flesh. Two or three. Look, let's look at an example of two or three. The book of Philemon, we've seen Paul and Philemon. Paul, are you learning something? You discover that every time we're talking about walking in love, there's not much excitement. I've been preaching walking in love for 22 years, consistently every year. It's one of the most solemn services in the church. Nobody says, One time, I was talking to a couple, husband and wife. No, I've done it many times. And then they come for counseling and all that. You know, I learned to counsel many years ago, married couple. So I said, sit down. You write what your husband does you don't like. You write what your wife does and you don't like. By the time the woman was finished, when she finished writing, you could actually have an epistle. She wrote and wrote and wrote and had to tell her to stop. And I asked the man to write. So when the man wrote, I said, both of you read what you wrote. You know where? It's like the tables of stone. And he just wrote, I love her the way she is. I think he said, I believe God should change and all that. She said, she smiled. He saw it, he goes, if many spouses get less judgmental, they'll have peaceful home. We're always pointing fingers. You, and some guys have a way of keeping a diary. You know, we have the book of life and the book of sins. Some folks have the book of sins. On the 14th of May, on the 18th of May, even the angels will go, man, you're intelligent. You know, you go, they just learn to stop judging each other. And one thing I've found out, write this down, it's important. Oftentimes in growing up, it's what we dislike that we reproduce. The same things you saw your parents do, and you say, what's this? If you don't renew your mind in God's word, you are going to repeat the same thing. I saw my father get angry at everything. I saw him rebel in anger. And I said, why would someone be like this? Do you know I did the same thing? That was exactly what I became. Because I saw it and never checked it. Stupid me forgot that the man's genes were in me. And that if there's someone I saw most in my life, that was the man. I didn't have another example of a father I saw born here. And I didn't check it. I didn't renew my mind. I didn't renew my mind. I didn't take time on the word about it. I knew it was wrong, but I never corrected it with myself. You know, you can correct others but yourself. And I saw worse with me. You gotta check that. You know? Because that's exactly what you saw. It's just like folks who are in churches where they do gimmicks for ministry and all that, and they leave, I don't want to think that place again. Do you know, if they go to start churches, that's what they reproduce. Same thing. Because that's all they saw. You need to take some time off that and renew your mind, get to a normal church where things are normal. And by biblical, let them wash you from impurities. Let your scarlet be as white as snow. Let things be clear. See what it means to have a prayer meeting. See what it means to have evangelism. See what it means to have submission to authority. You need to clear that. Or else, you will do exactly what you said was wrong. Because that's all you saw. Amen. Are we in church? So you need to renew your mind. And fix it in the Word. Do you know that you're a new creature? Okay, let me say it again. Do you know you're a new creature? Okay, one more time. Do you know you're a new creature? That's what you are. Don't say, see, in our family, that's how we are. See your life. That's not how you are. Some folks, the confession of who they are is in church, not in Christ. Alright, what I mean is this. That confession expires as they leave the auditorium. I'm what he says I am. I have the nature of God. Just step out of that place. Just say, what's that? I mean, you say, oh, it's better you just leave in church. Some guys are humble, simple in church. But just as the car park, someone says, can you move your car? Like, why do you have to touch my door like that? Do you know how much I do? I'm sorry, ma'am. Sorry for yourself. I'm sorry, sir. Too bad. Please move. You look at the person. In your mind, you see his shirt. Shoes. No wonder the angel said to Mary, take off your shoes. This kind of, sorry, to Moses, this kind of shoe they say take off. You are in the holy ground. You know, you just go all carnal. Because you have failed to see that truly you are a new creature in Christ. The new creature is such that all of us, no matter the background we came out from, we act the same way. Amen. I said amen. Alright, look at this now. Here's Paul and Philemon. Philemon has a big issue with a man by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus, watch this. Onesimus was an unbeliever who was with Philemon, I believe, as a servant. And then he broke away. Maybe he stole his money, I'm not sure, but I believe it had to do with money. And then he leaves. And Paul met Onesimus, and he knew Philemon. What I love about this story, he didn't have to go and see Philemon. From the records I have, he sent a letter to Philemon through Onesimus. How about that? I will say this, by the way. You must have relationships that the person can tell you to do something without seeing you. Relationships like that. Like, no. Come on. It's me. I'm saying, leave the matter. The most relationships like that. And Paul was like that with Onesimus, so with Philemon. And he says, you know what? Philemon, come on. Verse 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to you and to me. What a daring statement. He was unprofitable to you, but now he is to you and me. Serious man. The word unprofitable is actually the word useless. Akrestos in the Greek. A-C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. It means detrimental to you. Someone who actually causes harm. He says, that was what he was. But now he is in Christ. I thought Philemon will write back and say, I'm not tested. You don't have to. Believe the best. So I said, believe the best. But the Hagin used to say this, that love believes the best. It's one of the most potent characteristics of love. To believe the best. Many times we believe the worst of people. I'll tell you what I mean. Someone does the wrong thing. He's a believer. You must know that is his worst. Quote and unquote. But you know his best is in Christ. You know his best is faithfulness. You know his best is truthfulness. You know his best. So why not believe the best of him? Not believe the worst of him. Say, but he did it 2 times, 3 times, and 4 times. Mm-mm. Believe the best. Do you know God believes the best of you? Do you know how many times you do wrong in a day? Sometimes you even lose count yourself. Yet he trusts you and believes the best of you. Say with me, love believes the best. Say again, love believes the best. So he says, he's been unprofitable to you. Now let me ask you, that statement that Paul made of Onesimus, was it a statement of fact or faith? Come on, talk to me. Was it a statement of fact or faith? Faith. He said, look, he's not profitable to you. Has that been proven to Philemon? No. So in reconciliation, we must use faith. Many of us don't know how to reconcile believers. We take sides. And I go, hey. Believe the best. Believe the best. Do you know what I'm saying now? Almost looks impractical. Impractical to man. You start to imagine the extent of what I'm saying. Say, protect yourself. How many things can you protect yourself from? Why not just cast your cares upon the Lord? For he cares for you. How careful can you get? The most devious human beings who are mafia, how careful do they get? You have all the intelligence and yet they do them in. How careful can you get? But we know we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Hallelujah. We are above hatred. I'm above all the machinations of men. Sometimes people tell me, be careful of the kids. I say, I'm not careful of anybody. They say, no one can harm me. So whatever you do, it will fail. I've said it for many years. Amen. I'm maintaining my heart integrity to love, not to hold anything against anyone. If I have anything against you, I'll call you and I'll tell you. So that gives me peace of mind. So whatever you try to do, I tell people, I overcome evil with good. I am an overcomer. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, my faith. So I realize that. God, protect yourself. Make sure you do this, you do that. No. Walk in love. Love is my protection. Say, love is my protection. The love of God is my protection. I will not use bitterness to protect myself. I won't use hatred to protect myself. I won't use unforgiveness to protect myself. Are you following what I said here? I won't use bitterness. I won't use evil speaking to protect myself. That's not protecting yourself. That is harming someone. Protect yourself by walking in love. Amen. Protect yourself by walking in love. We are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Say, I walk in love. Amen. Look at 17. He says, it's not profitable unto you. Paul. Strong words. Let me even read it further. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, but instead he might have ministered unto me the bones of the gospel. For without my mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit would not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. But perhaps he therefore departed for sin, that he should receive him forever. Receive him forever. Watch that. Let's take 16 together. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Let's take 17 together. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Come on now. Strong words. The word partner is where you have the word koinonia, fellowship. We are now the same. Receive him as myself. I think the word to receive him is the word proslambano. P-R-O-S-L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Proslambano. The word to receive him means you take the action yourself. Like call him on the phone. Call him on the phone. Go to his house. That's what it means. You pro-lambano. Don't receive him because he came. Approach him to receive him. Pro-lambano. Pros means to approach. Approach him to receive him. Welcome him. Forget what he has done. Take the initiative. I must learn to reconcile people. See, I must learn to reconcile people. It's your nature in Christ. You must learn to reconcile believers. Reconcile believers. Call him. Strong words, verse 18. Watch Paul. Paul says, if he has wronged you or holds you anything, put on my own account. Hello, GM degree. Put it on my own account. Then he blows the big one. I, Paul, as though he didn't mention his name the first time. I have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to you how you owe me even your own life. He told him the story of his Christian life. Some guys need to hear the story. Yeah. How can you say that? You? How can you say that? You? Sometimes those who do the worst things and are forgiven are the same set that don't forgive others. How can you? You? I mean, found that sometimes, this is by the way, some guys that gave you the roughest time in follow-up, eventually they grow spiritually and then they probably become leaders, complain the most about their own followers. I told a lady years back, I said, have you forgotten what you did to me? Said, but then I was not like that. I said, you are reaping what you sow. That's not the way, really. So, you must work at reconciliation. That's Paul. So, what's Paul doing? What two shall agree as touching something shall be done. So, who are the two agreeing here? See, you got lost. Who are the true two agreeing here? Go and think about it. Two agreeing is touching anything. Reconciliation. You must never take sides. Your work, even if it's your wife that came to tell you about somebody and say, eh? Darling? Darling, sorry. What? Let's go. No, calm down. Okay? No. You go, oh, I know you can't. You know, sometimes your wife can say, that's all you're going to say. Why did I marry? Why did I marry? If you're going to treat me like every other person, what is the benefit of my calling MRS? Darling, you're a new creature. Oh, please, I'm bad away. Oh, darling. You're a new creature. Leave that MRS matter. Hallelujah. We are going to give account of our lives, not our title. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, many Bible letters, many epistles had commentaries on forgiveness. Romans 12, let's start from there. Romans 12, 16 to 21. Can we read it together? I want us to read this once again. Romans 12, 16 to 21. We're going to read together now. Let's go. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Are you there? Okay, let's start from 14. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but consider to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. 17. Recompense to praise no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, rather give grace unto God. 20. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. 20. Therefore, if that enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire. And he said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Overcome evil with good. 1 Corinthians 6. Why would you take your brother to court? That's what he's saying. Why would you go to the law? 1 Corinthians 6. It says, look for a believer. Watch again. Let's say 2 or 3. He says in verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Let's look at verse 4. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. In other words, get folks in the church to judge the man. Can we take verse 5 together? Let's go. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Figure 2 or 3. You must involve the church. Alright? Now look at 7 and 8. Very Bible. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? That is better for you to just accept the wrong than go to court. Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Now that's like saying it's a family business. Serious word. He said, take the wrong. Suffer it. The word defrauded is the word apostereo in the Greek. A-P-O-S-T-E-R-E-O. 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 It means to deprive yourself. Same word he used for husband and wife in 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. 1 Corinthians 7 and 5 and 1 Timothy 6 and 5. It means deprive yourself. A serve. That is, take it. Take the mess. I don't take mess, man. Take it, brother. Deprive yourself. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8 to 10. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8 to 10. He says, wherefore, I beseech you that you confirm your love toward him. To this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Let's take verse 10 together. 2 Corinthians 2, 10. Let's go. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, I forgive in the person of Christ. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Galatians 5. And verse 13. I want us to read this one together too. Galatians 5, 13 to 15. Let's go. For brethren, I wait for you. Let's go. But brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Look at 15. But if you abide and devour one another, take it that you not be consumed. You know, there are folks like that. You devour one another, one day you will finish yourself, and there will be no brethren again. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:32. Want us to read one together? Come on. Ephesians 4:32. Let's go. Ephesians 4:32. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God Christ said, has forgiven. The word forgiving here is the word that forgiving you is the word charizomai. Freely done. That is, there is nothing the person does to merit it. The same way you did not merit forgiveness, and God gave it to you and you received it, is the same way God expects you to do to others. Can we take chapter 5 verse 1 together? Everybody, let's go. 1 and 2. Let's go. Be therefore followers of God as their children. Now wait, what exactly are you following? For God forgave you in Christ. So you will be a follower of God. The word there is an imitator, mimetos in the Greek, to act like God as their children. But you do walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Philippians 2. Verse 1 to 3. Let's take it together. Come on. Philippians 2, verse 1 to 3. Can we go? If there be any, I'll wait for you. Let's go. If therefore be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Colossians 3:13. I wait for you. Are you there? Come on, let's go. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against even as Christ has forgiven. The word quarrel is the word memphos in the Greek. M-O-M-P-H-E. It means complaints or charge. He says, you forgive. Forgive one another. Notice the foundation he uses as God in Christ. You observe that the forgiveness is always related with Jesus and you. Come on. Have you observed it? Have you observed it? Why? Remember that parable again. That parable was, hey, the king let you go for $10,000. This one is just 100 naira. Let it go. One of the reasons why we are forgiven in Christ is so that we can forgive others. Okay? Right now. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. 14. Let's take it together. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, support the weak, be patient towards all. See that none beseeching render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Something about Christian humble towards ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Can we read that one very loud? Can we go? Above all, have fervent agape among yourself. For love discloses the multitude of sins. For love posts the multitude of sins. For love tells other brethren the multitude of sins. Okay, I'm not telling brethren, I'm only reminding the brother what he has done. Love covers, the word cover there means to conceal, no one sees it, the multitude of sins. Are you in church? So two or three, church leadership. Don't forget. You don't say you take two or three. If he doesn't hear, you talk to the leadership. Now, in the epistles, did the leadership resolve things? Yes, that's why Paul is giving instructions. That's what he did with Philemon. They resolve things. They make sure that people reconcile. If you're a pastor, you must work at reconciliation. That's your job. You must make sure that people resolve hurts they have with each other. It's totally antichrist to have believers who don't relate. They don't have the best of friends, but they must be cordial enough and have fellowship as believers. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Ephesians 4:30. So how does the Father hold it against you? He's not going to hold your neck. Neither is he going to put you in jail. What's he going to do? Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you know to grieve the Holy Spirit has to do with what you do to others? It's not shouting when everybody is singing. or when the Spirit of God is moving somewhere and you are seated somewhere. That's not what it means. Grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with what you do to other people. Let's take it in context. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the heirs. Now, there's a way this corrupt communication is not saying bad things. It's actually what you say to others. Things that destroy others. Things that put people down. Things that destroy their image. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What's he talking about? Let all bitterness, can we take 31 together? So what grieves the Spirit? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with malice. He's dealing with relationship issues. The what there, and then he says in verse 32, how do you put away all this? Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiveness. It's forgiveness that puts away bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, and malice. Forgiveness deals with them at once. Are we together here? Are we together here? So he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word to grieve the Holy Spirit is the Greek word lupio. L-U-P-O. It means to vex, to make uncomfortable. Some people say the Holy Spirit does nothing when we sin. That's not true. That's not true. How would? So which spirit is telling you not to do something? Paul's spirit? No. He will not condemn you. I've explained that to you, but he will correct you. So the Father will put you in the jail of correction. Amen. He's going to bind you. Amen. He's going to bind you. He's going to prompt your heart. That's not it. The Father will let you go. If you have unforgiveness in your heart to someone. That's wrong. That's wrong. No matter how many scriptures you try to quote, it is wrong. You will never find peace in your heart. Never. Because you will be uncomfortable because you are born of the Spirit. You will, listen carefully. A Christian who abhors unforgiveness will have to sear his conscience. You will have to harden your conscience to abhor unforgiveness. Because the Father will hold it against you. He will. He will hold it against you. He will prompt your heart. That's wrong. You ought to let go. It's for lack of words that the Greek puts it that way. We'll trace it the next time. Father will hold it against you. In 1 John 3, look at how John says the same thing. 1 John 3. You know, you can leave that statement out of context and say in verse 20, if our heart condemns us, 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our hearts. But you need to read what he was talking about. What's he talking about? He's talking about love. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he had laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God where? Where? In him. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue. Oh, someone's hand. Oh, somebody. But in deed and in truth. And hereby we know, based on this, that we are of the truth. And we shall assure our hearts before him. What's he talking about? Love. Forgiving others. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. He's not talking about prayer. And do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Whatever we desire, we receive it of him. Watch it now. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ, his son, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps this commandment, which is to love people, to love others, dwells in him and he in him. And hereby we know he abides in us
by the Spirit which He has given us. Amen. So we assure our hearts every time we walk in love. We assure our hearts every time we forgive others. But every time we don't, we grieve our spirits. We grieve the Spirit. We make the Spirit uncomfortable. God is uncomfortable in unforgiveness. You need to learn to bind. Bind yourself and lose the offender. Bind yourself. Bind unforgiveness and lose forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, you will be bound in your heart. You will be. Because it's contrary to your nature. Amen. Amen. I have the nature of the Father. I have the Spirit of God. Let's sing that song. I'll be my heart. There is the nature.